Worth Repeating is made possible by the 80/20 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation.
Additional support for this episode comes from Street to Feet. Street to Feet, founded in 2008, is a wellness program for individuals experiencing homelessness in San Antonio. For this and more information, visit streettofeet.org.
Some of the stories may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Worth Repeating podcast. I'm Tori Poole. This is the second part of the live storytelling event recorded at the Irma and Emilio Nicolas Media Center at Texas Public Radio in downtown San Antonio. The theme was Snatched, stories about the things that are taken and sometimes hard to recover. Can you think of an instance where someone took something that was a little hard to replace? Our next storyteller is Dallas Van. Dallas shares a story about a family trip to Mexico that didn't go exactly as planned.
So, I've gotten a lot of trouble in my life. I try to stay out of it, but I'm not doing a very good job. One time I got a speeding ticket, right? I missed my court date. Court date was on a Thursday. I get a call from the sheriff's department letting me know I have a warrant out for my arrest. So I tell him, I'll be in first thing in the morning. Come in Friday morning, judge gives me the whole talk, lets me know, hey, I could put you in jail right now. There's warrant out for your arrest. You know how big of a deal this is? Yes, sir. He goes, all right, well, you came in on your own will, so I'm going to clear the warrant, all right? That's what I thought happened. That's what he said had happened. And I don't know at what point or at where, but somebody didn't do their job. So fast forward months, probably 6 to 8 months later, I'm going on a big trip to Mexico with all of my family, okay? If you know anything about Mexican families, there's a lot of them. It's all my aunts, all my uncles, all right, all my cousins, my grandma, who at the time is 95 years old. She just turned 100, she's still here. So I'm there with all my family and go through security. They scan my passport. You know, I get the green light, get to go on through. So I'm walking, whole family goes to Terminal 1. Me, my mom, and my aunt go to get something to eat. It's early in the morning. My mom goes to the desk for a little while and comes back. She goes, hey, guess what? I asked them if we could upgrade to first class. Never been on first class. That seems exciting. She said, yeah, just listen for your name. I'm like, all right, awesome. So we're eating, all of a sudden, Dallas Van to Terminal 1. Dallas Van to Terminal 1. It happened, you guys. We all look at each other. We're pumped, all right? I tell them, y'all guys, go ahead and box this up. I'll eat it in first class. So I get up. I walk out. And an officer stops me. And he goes, is your name Dallas Van? Now, backstory. A number of years ago, my uncle was a very high-ranking sheriff detective in San Antonio. And he was killed in the line of duty. It was a big case. They thought it was a cartel hit. It was random. It was just a guy who didn't like cops, pulled up next to a cop over off Rigsby, put an AR-15 out the window, unloaded a clip, drove off. It's completely random. But it was a huge court case in San Antonio. I think the cop recognizes me from the case. I'm like, yeah, my name is Dallas Van. What's up? He goes, don't put your hands in your pockets. That's odd. Next thing I know, I'm slammed up against the wall. I have every TSA agent all of a sudden all around me. They slam me on the ground, knee to my back. I look up. My 95-year-old Mexican grandma is on the ground screaming and crying like a novella. Ay, Dios mío! All my aunts are holier. My cousins think it's just me being me again. So I guess Dallas did something. So I tell the guys, I don't know what's going on, but I probably did it. Get me up and take me to the back. Let's get out of here. Let's go. They take me to the back. I don't know if you've ever been searched, but I guarantee you've never been searched like I was searched by TSA. He had something to prove. They take me to the back and they're all talking. I don't know what's going on. I'm in handcuffs. I hear him talking, and one guy turns to another guy. He goes, all right, let's bring him back here. where there's no cameras. I go, whatever you can do right in front of the cameras, man. And he gets quiet and leans in. He goes, you're not going to want this on film. They take me to a room, proceed to put on, it was the longest snap of a glove I've ever heard in my life. Snap the glove, pull my pants open. He puts his hand and finger up the crack, back down to my junk, and begins to shake ever so violently. Sister, me and you both want to know to this day. I kept telling him, I was like, oh, I just went through your security. If you didn't find anything then, you're not going to find anything now, dude. Okay? So they shake me up. They get me back. And the officer that had been the first one asked me if my name was Dallas. He feels bad because he can see in the computer that I have a warrant for a traffic ticket, but he knows something's up. So we're driving. I'm trying to tell him, I don't know what this is about. I think somebody messed up. He feels bad for me. And before we pull into the jail, he gives me my phone. I get to make one phone call, which you know is a big deal. I call my dad. My dad is already at the police department. And he's waiting there with my uncle, one of the men that was there. Here's the thing, backstory, my uncle does not like me. some would say he hates me. Now, he has good reason. I was not a good kid growing up. Might have stole a couple bucks from him. I'm sorry, but he is a retired pilot from United, 30 years. He's a Vietnam helicopter pilot. So he tells the rest of the family, y'all guys, don't worry, go on the trip. I'll stay behind with Richard, my dad, and I'll figure this out. So I'm going into the jail, and if you know anything about jail, it takes a long time to get in and out. The cops have me back there. I hear one cop tell another cop, you know he's coming out of Austin. Hey, you know we can extradite you to Austin, right? You know that takes 10 days? Okay, and as they're all standing around laughing about me staying there, one of them goes, Van, like Kenneth Van, you know Officer Van? I go, yeah, that was my uncle. And he happened to be their leader and one of their most beloved officers. So they all changed their tune real quick. They go, hey man, we see something's wrong. Don't worry, we'll get you out of here. They put me in a cell by myself. I was in and out of jail in 6 hours, which is insane. Go stay at my dad's house, stay overnight. My uncle comes to pick me up, 5 o'clock in the morning. We go back to the airport, sitting there trying to get a ticket. It's gonna be $600 to get on a flight to Mexico City. It's New Year's Eve. I have to be there that night. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have to borrow money. I'm already poor. And a guy just walks up, and he's wearing United outfit, and he says, hey, you were that kid who was here yesterday, right? Yeah, we all saw what happened. And we explained to him what happened, and the guy goes, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of you. Does some stuff, work something. Next thing I know, I'm in first class. First class. All the way to Mexico City, me and my uncle end up having a 3-hour conversation we would have never had. Now we're friends, I guess. Get to Mexico City, walk into the house, and there are 30 Mexican women waiting with tequila and tacos, crying, freaking out, and we all celebrated that night. One of the biggest celebrations we've ever had in our life. It was amazing. Downside. Every time I go to Mexico and come back, I'm now on a TSA watch list. So, it is hard to get in and out of the country. But, if I call Washington, D.C., apparently I can clear my name. My name's Alice. Thank you guys so much.
We encourage Dallas to arrive a bit earlier when traveling internationally. Worth Repeating returns on October 8th, and the theme is Creeped. From haunted places to unexplained occurrences, these stories are sure to leave a chill. So grab your favorite sweater and make plans to be in the crowd by securing your tickets today. Visit tpr.org/WR for this and more information.
This program was made possible with support from the 80/20 Foundation, striving to transform San Antonio by issuing grants to public charities that attract, grow, and retain San Antonio's future workforce. For this and more information, visit 8020foundation.com.
Our next storyteller is Jessica Betancourt. Jessica shares a story about how we sometimes forget who we are, but it's never too late to find ourselves again.
All right. Okay, bestie. So I'm from San Antonio, but I left as soon as I could, right? And I moved up to North Texas, and I was teaching reading and writing, seventh grade, middle school, during the global pandemic, right? That's so hot. And it was year two pandemic, where the kids were wearing their masks, like on their chins, like the little goatees, you know? And I'm teaching Langston Hughes, which is really important, right? But there was this kid, and he would always just like airlift his hand like this. And when he did that, he was telling me, I'm going to ask a question, and you're just going to have to deal with it. So he did just that. And he said, Miss, what did you want to be when you were younger? And I'm kind of, thinking, okay, in all my years of teaching, no one has ever asked me that. Shame on them. Why didn't they care about what I wanted to do? But I'm normally a private gal, but I decided, you know what? I'll share. So I respond, a singer and a fashion stylist, in that particular order. And then it gets really quiet. And I swear in unison, the kids go, but miss, you can still do it. I was like, my mask goes down. I'm like, what, me? Like, oh my God. Okay, get back to work. Later that day, I go home. It's probably 9 p.m. because us teachers, like, we're there all day, right? And it's like 9 p.m. and that's when you have to vacate the building. But then you take your laptop home and you actually keep working and doing lesson plans. We know the drill. So I decide to stop and I go to my closet and I start looking around and I'm like, where's all the fashion? What happened here? Where was that little girl that used to like dress up the night before in middle school and would really come up with cute little thrifted fits, right? Where'd she go? So then I started thinking, okay, bestie, there was this guy, okay? And he looked like Mario Lopez, okay? And a young Jess really had a thing for AC Slater. Okay, Alfred Clifford Slater, okay, and he was working on his PhD, which for me means pretty hot, damn, like, oh my God, and so I get dressed up, because we're going on a little date, and I'm a Virgo, and peridot's my color, so I wear green, right? Not many people wear green. And I wear my beautiful little green dress, and I think I look so cute, and I'm sitting there, and I can tell he's going to tell me something. And then all of a sudden, he says, Jessiquita. That's what he called me. I don't know how to tell you this, but when you wear those bright colors and all those patterns, it takes away a lot of attention. Like people, I don't know, I just don't like all the attention. Could you stop doing that? I know, right? And I know what you're thinking, like I'm gonna elbow the water and it's gonna cascade and fall on his lap. And then I'm gonna be like, oops, sorry. Oh, I have a puppy dog who needs food. I gotta go, bye. And then I leave him, right? But that's not what happened, you see? So I respond to the guy who talks to me about particle physics and the Higgs boson. I say, listen, yeah, you're right. Like, absolutely, ew, why do I wear these clothes? So I go home that night and start compiling the best donation of clothes in a trash bag and start to put that part of myself away, right? So Wow. So then fast forward, I'm like, okay, I'm a teacher. I'm doing my teaching thing. What's up with all this beige? What's up with all this like non-pattern stuff, whatever. But there's this thing called teacher tired for my teachers in the room. And it's this thing where like, okay, like you go home and you're tired and you're in a vampiric state and you may or may not eat that night because eating actually requires a lot of energy. If someone could spoon feed or IV you, you're good, right? But for me, the drawing point was actually when I was at a doctor's appointment. And all of a sudden, they start saying, Jessica, 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 Jessica. And I am non-responsive, y'all. I didn't know. Oh, you're talking to me, right? Oh, that's me. And I realized, oh, us teachers, we only call each other by our last name, right? You're either like Rodriguez, Gonzalez, or Clark. It's very militaristic. Okay. And I was like, oh, you're talking to me, right? Oh, I was like, you know what, Jess, I think there's time for a change, right? You don't have a lot of friends and the friends that you have no energy to even spend time with them. There needs to be a little change here. So I decided to leave North Texas and come back to my hometown of San Antonio and make a big change. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to try new things. I'm going to do new things. I'm going to wear all the stuff that I wanted to wear. And I'm going to make friends. And I think some of them are in this audience. Like, and that's what I did. And it's been such a cool experience. But the thing that I want to share is growing up, one of my beloved elders, she meant well, right? She was an elder. She used to tell me, if you're fat, mija, no one will love you, right? And so I hear that, right? And so I used to have that on repeat in my head all my life. So when this guy who looked like Mario Lopez told me to get rid of my clothes, I was like, yes, he's doing me a favor by loving me. So I will do anything it takes to earn his love, right? So with that said, now I am a self-proclaimed fashion stylist, right? And I choose to steal the spotlight. And I live out loud. And I'm a firm believer that fashion is so incredibly magical. And don't let anyone snatch, see what I did there? Your creativity from you, because it is your soul and spirit. And so I just have one thing to ask you, besties, before I go. What did you want to be when you were younger?
It's a great reminder that no romantic partner should ever change our very nature. I'm glad Jessica found her love for fashion once again. Worth Repeating is now a book. Trinity University Press and TPR are proud to present Worth Repeating San Antonio Stories featuring 40 true narratives. Pick one up at the next live event on October 8th or at your nearest book retailer. Your support funds programs like these.
This program was made possible by the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, striving to enrich the quality of life of San Antonio residents and visitors by creating art programming and helping people experience art. For this and more information, visit getcreativesanantonio.com.
Our final storyteller of the night is Aaron Cheatham. Aaron shares a story about a late night drive home and how he was unexpectedly detained.
So January 2023, I'm here in San Antonio performing at Upstage Comedy Lounge. I was doing two shows. It was a weekend thing, Friday night, Saturday night. After the Friday night shows, I'm heading back home to Austin and I get pulled over at 1:30 in the morning. In the Arby's parking lot. Which is an omen, right? Like nothing good has ever happened in an Arby's parking lot, right? I get pulled over in New Braunfels. If you don't know anything about New Braunfels, just think small town Texas, all right? 1:30 in the morning. I wasn't speeding, wasn't driving erratically. Don't know why I'm being pulled over. But let's just say I was shook, right? I don't know if you guys know this or not, but black people and cops don't really... You know, like black people and cops is like kids and vegetables. Like we just don't. Nobody. I was shook. The cop comes to the window and he's a young cop. So immediately I'm thinking, I got a chance here. First thing he says is, can I get you to step out of the car? Oh, shit, this escalated quickly. I get out the car. He's at the back of my car. He says, sir, can I get you to step to my vehicle? Look, the closer you get to their car, the further you are to going home. I was scared. Doesn't ask me for my license. Doesn't tell me why he's pulled me over. First thing he says is, where are you coming from? I said, oh, I'm a comedian. I was doing a show in San Antonio. I'm just driving home to Austin. He goes, oh, you're a comedian, huh? Well, I love comedy. In fact, some nights when it's slow, I just sit here and I watch comedy specials all night long. And in that moment, I thought to myself, whatever I gotta say to this man, so that my face ain't on the front of a t-shirt, I'm finna do that tonight. Oh, I gave him all the good stuff. We had a blast in that parking lot. I gave him all the good stuff. Knock, knock, who's there? Michael Jackson. I gave him all the gold. Like, we're having a good conversation, like to the point that I forgot I was sitting in a parking lot talking to a cop. We're just having a great conversation. I let all my guards down. My walls were let down. This bike flies by doing like 100 miles an hour on 35. And I was like, woo, I'm glad I'm here with you. Right? Like, whatever I got to do to go home, I'm saying to him. He was all, oh, that dude's been doing this all week. Because I thought he was going to go and I could. He was like, tell me more jokes. We're sitting there having a great conversation. And then out of nowhere, he says to me, hey, man, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to jail before? The betrayal. We were having such a great time. What is this? He says, no, I ain't never been to jail before. I've been to court. I ain't never been to jail. I've been to court, though. I've been to court. He goes, oh, you've been to court. Okay, that's cool. I got one more question. I'm going to let you out of here. I say, okay. He goes, do you have anything illegal in the vehicle? And I paused. Like, I paused too long to now lie. You know what I'm talking about? Right, is that long gap in the, yeah. Because here's what happened. When I left the show, another comic met me in the park, and I go, hey, great job tonight. You smoke? I go, yeah. He go, hold on a second. And reached in the pocket and broke off a little bit of weed and put it in my hand. So this is like pocket weed, right? This pocket, he put, like, not even in a wrapper. This is raw pocket weed. He put in my hand. And then I put it in a napkin. And then I put it in the middle console, and I forgot all about it until he asked me that question. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a self-realization in real time in front of somebody, but it looks guilty as fuck every time. Yeah, man, I got a little bit of weed. There's a little bit of weed in my car. He goes, how much you talking? We got an ounce, 2 ounces? How much you got? I go, no. No, it's a little bit of weed. Somebody broke off, put it in my hand. I put it in a napkin. It's in the middle console. You can go get it right now, sir. It's in there. He goes, I appreciate you being honest with me. But nobody gives a fuck about weed. What are we doing? He goes, but since you were honest with me, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to call my partner up. He's going to hang out with you. While he hangs out with you, I'm going to check the car. And if all I find is that little bit of weed, we're going to be okay. I go, there's a pipe, too. I tried to hide it under the seat. There's a pipe. Whatever I got to say to go home. So he calls his partner up. And I'm sitting there on the side of the road. And I'm just thinking, what did I do? Like, now I'm about to get a possession charge. What about, like, my wife's going to be up my ass about this? Like, who's going to tell the people about the show tomorrow? I'm going to jail for this little bit of pocket weed. I'm freaking out. And his partner pulls up, and this dude comes up in, like, the full SWAT SUV, right? He gets out the car. He looks like he's cosplaying for January 6th. Like, you know who I'm talking about, right? Like, it's bulletproof vest, wolfskin hat, the whole thing. He was there. He gets out the car, what's the situation? Oh, he's got a little bit of weed. I'm gonna go check it out. Nobody cares about weed. That's what I'm saying, sir. Can I go home? And he leaves me with this dude, and he goes and he checks the car, and he comes back, and he's got the napkin, and he's laughing. And he opens up the napkin, and he shows the other cop, and he's, man, what is this? Where you even get this? I go, I told him already. I got it from the show. Somebody put it in my hand, and I put it in a napkin. Then I put it in the middle console, and then I told him about it. And now you got it, sir. That's your weed. That's, you got the weed now, sir. That's not even my weed no more. Possession, 9/10 of the law. That's your weed, sir. That's not even my weed no more. And they laughed in my face. And then the first cop says, man, get the fuck out of here. I said, I can leave? He goes, yeah, you can take off, man. Consider it a warning. Heart. I get in the car, get back on I-35 and start driving off. And as I get on the highway, I open the middle console and I look down and I saw that the pipe that was under the seat was now in the middle console and it was loaded. Then it dawned on me. Like, I've been robbed before. But by the cops? What the f... Even a great experience with the police in Texas still ends with you getting screwed. I don't understand. That's my story, guys. Thank you so much.
We're glad that Aaron only had the most embarrassing amount of marijuana on him and not the big deal amount.
This program is made possible by the Lifshutz Foundation, an arts, culture, and humanities fundraising organization.
That's it for the Worth Repeating podcast. Do us a favor and give us a like, subscribe, or review us wherever you stream podcasts. Support for Worth Repeating comes from the 8020 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation. Worth Repeating is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Tori Poole. Thanks for listening.